Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota, program number 102. This program is about the goodness of God. And when people say God is good, we are digging into the depths of just how good God truly is. We continue on with our newest subject of music. We're looking at Ephesians verse 19, and it says, "Speak unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." We have made comments the past few days that dealing with the word melody has been changed to music. We have looked at Moses to see what he could teach us about music. We looked at the astounding fact of what goes on in Daniel chapter 3 when it comes to music. We have looked at Exodus chapter 32 about the noise of them that sing when Moses came down from Mount Sinai. We've looked at Amos, where we found out what it is to be a couch potato sitting around listening to their music for themselves. Yes, that's what it talks about. Amos chapter 6, verse 1, and then 5 right there. So that's some interesting stuff. See, they say the Bible is outdated. It's antique. You know, it's antiquated, not antique. They think it's an antique, too. It's antiquated. I'm sure those words come from the same source or root or whatever. But it's not. It's right up to date. In fact, it's so up to date, it's ahead of time. It's ahead of the times as we have kind of seen here with music, as well as some other things. So let's just get right into it today. We are going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. This is 11 o'clock or so the night before this program will be aired. And I have to tell you that it's 39 degrees right now, and the temperature is sinking. And I notice in Dallas that the temperature is 76 right now. So for all you folks out there that feel bad because you're missing out on such cool, nice, free air conditioning, it's raining, so we're even getting our moisture. Probably turn to ice by morning time. But you're welcome to come up here. Come knock on my door, say hi, ask me your questions. But otherwise, I take an email, susamann@bechtel.com, or get onto the website, which is what this program is all based on, www.scatteredchristians.org. And you can find all that you need there. Deep, deep, many sermons, all sorts of things. Just have a great time in there. Sermons that deal with the goodness of God. Sermons that deal with the Old Testament. 2-year study on the Old Testament when it comes to Christians today. What's in there for us, even though it's not to us. You can get in there and you can read about the tribulation, what it's going to be like. Not for us, but who it's going to be for. You can find all sorts of things. But basically, and the greatest thing is you can find out but the goodness of God has been given to the Gentiles, if only they would believe and trust and get into a King James Bible and rightly divide that thing, and they would have their eyes enlightened to such a manner that they just really can't even get over how exciting it is. Okay, so let's continue our dig regarding music, and we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now, this is an interesting place, because if a person would partially study his Bible, they could go to 1 Samuel 16, and they could go here and they could say, see, look at here. Saul had a problem. He wasn't feeling good. He was mentally had a problem. He physically had a problem, and he spiritually had a problem. And if you notice at the end of this thing, he called for a musician. A musician came in there, and he played for him, and he was healed. He was healed mentally. He was healed physically, and he was healed spiritually. So, what have you got against music that can be that powerful? We're living in a day where music has become therapy. And you know, in all reality, it can be. But there's a serious problem here in this chapter and in these verses. If you want to turn to music for your physical well-being, for your spiritual well-being, and your mental well-being, this may look like that's okay, but it falls short. And I'll show you what I mean. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're looking at verse 14. Here we go. "But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play well with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants, and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse, and said, Send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread, and a bottle of wine, and a kid, and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul, and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor-bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp, and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed, and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now doesn't that sound good? Here's a guy that's troubled physically, he's troubled mentally, he's troubled spiritually. And this musician came along and played for him, and everything was just made fine. Is that not what people turn to music for today? They'll turn to that music for mental peace. They'll turn to music today for that physical excitement, that fleshly, and it can actually help people calm their nerves, calm themselves physically, and it can heal them mentally because their mind is put at ease, et cetera, et cetera. And then even had the evil spirit departed, and so even the spiritual thing. So if we just put all this stuff together, I tell you, we put in the right kind of words and the right kind of music, we can go around there and we can make this a ministry of healing, a ministry of encouragement, a ministry of excitement. We can get churches excited again. We can get churches jumping up and down in their aisles. We can get people happy again. We can get people feeling better just because of the music. And I'm telling you, I have seen so many missionaries come through churches that I was dealing with back earlier years, and the preacher did his preaching and did his teaching and all that stuff, but the emphasis of that man was his family, was the musical family. They either had harp, or they had violin, or they had banjos, or they had trumpets. I mean, they had all the stuff. These kids were well-trained. They were great entertainers. Oh, they were dressed modestly, and they were polite little children, at least to the parents in front of all the church people. But I knew what was going on behind the doors. I knew what was going on here. And these ministries would not have survived without the money they made from those musicians, from the music. Well, what do they care? They're back there buying all these CDs. They're back there buying all these DVDs, and they're watching these people sing along the beaches and along the, all that kind of stuff. I just knew back then that there's something wrong with this. What's going on here? So we looked at this stuff in Saul and David here. I'm going to read this again. I'm going to slow it down. I'm going to show you some things that are quite eye-opening, okay? But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Okay. Should I go to the punchline right now, or shall I wait? I think I'll wait. First, let's go to verse 16. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. Well, let's check out the word cunning here. What's cunning here? Skillful, experienced, well-instructed. David knew what to do with that harp. He knew how to help Saul feel better mentally and spiritually. And physically, he knew what to do with that harp. Now, the rest of the definition of cunning, it's an exciting definition for me to see here. In fact, if you were to do a word study on the word cunning, Old Testament, New Testament, and just see how that word is defined, you'll see something that deals with the tribulation. You'll see something that deals with kids. And it's quite interesting. But anyway, the final statement in this definition in this 1828 dictionary was knowledge. Somebody who's cunning has a knowledge that was acquired by experience. Does that make sense? You can go to school until you've got more degrees that you have wall space for. But there's no better knowledge than the knowledge that's acquired by experience. Now, I'm only 64 years old, so that's not bad. I like to whine and complain that it's old, but it's not. It's just getting older is what it is. But there's the things that I have learned regarding my Bible and regarding music. It's not just because I've read it and read it and read it. It's not because I've done these word studies and looked at differences between Paul's teachings and the gospel teachings. It's because I have seen what's going on in the churches. I have seen the change from Bible preaching churches to where now they have music in there taking over. I've seen that process take place. I've been a musician, like I say, since second grade, and I'm certainly not bragging about it. I'm not, because I'm not that good at this stuff. But I have learned some stuff, and the knowledge that I have acquired is mostly by experience, put together with biblical study, Bible study, King James Bible, and all these years of music and playing the different instruments and teaching the kids, talking to parents about the music they listen to, and looking at words and looking at groups and seeing this thing take place over the years, seeing this history go forward, so where now I can go backwards and I can study the European music, I can study the Oriental music, and I can study the African music, and I can put all this stuff together, and I've been able to see the deception that's taking place, that's getting people caught up. They're being taken away from their Bibles by having different Bibles, but now even those people are being taken away from their Bibles by music. And this is all basically knowledge acquired by experience. I would have to say, and I'm not saying this in a prideful way, I think I'm able to be a cunning musician. Because with the skill I have on the piano and whatever, I've been able to help people mentally. I've been able to help people even physically and spiritually. How can you do that? Well, because we deal with harmonies for the mental, for the mind. We deal with the rhythm for the physical, and I don't get into the rock rhythm. It's just nice casual rhythm, which music has. And spiritually, I play the melodies of all the hymns that we all know. And so there's a spiritual boost there as well. But is that the final product? Is it me that's being cunning to make this happen? Is this what David did? He was so cunning. So if that's the case, you just need to get yourself a CD player that plays cunning music from cunning musicians. And listen to their music, and you can be healed mentally, physically, and spiritually. Is that true? Is that what we're looking for here? No, that's not what we're looking for here. And I'll show you why. So we go back to David being a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon me, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Physically, see? And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. In other words, go get me a CD. Go get me a relaxation CD. Go get me a spiritual CD. Go get me a Christian CD. Go get, you know, that kind of stuff. Which, by the way, we'll have to talk about that someday. There's no such thing as Christian music. You can call it what you want, but it's not Christian music. Might be supposedly religious words. It would be considered religious music. But Christian music? I'll have to do a program about that one of these days. Anyway, we go back down here to verse 18, and he says, then answered one of the servants that said, behold, I have seen the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing. That's good. He's a good musician. He's learned something with his music. Or he's got a knowledge, and he's learned it by experience. He's well instructed. He's experienced. He's skillful. And then it says, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Boy, now there's a musician for you. He's not just some wishy-washy sweet little guy that's just plays with his little instruments, you know, and plays this and plays that. I mean, he was a mighty valiant man. He was a man of war, and prudent in matters. The guy had wisdom. This David knew what was going on. He wasn't just a fly-by-night musical musician that everybody thinks musicians are. Okay, had to stick up for the musicians. You know, David was a valiant man. He was a good man. He still was a musician. It's okay, guys out there, to have your kids become musicians. It's okay for them to join band and if you're going to do that stuff. It's okay if your kid happens to like music. Most of the time, it's the dads that are almost embarrassed because the kid is better on trumpet than he is with a basketball. Well, let's get to the meat of this whole thing right here. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, this is verse 23, that David took an harp and played with his hand. I mean, he's playing his harp with his hand, because that's how you play harps, okay? So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. What's the key to this chapter? What's going on here? We got to go back to verse 14. And I'm curious if you picked up on that when I read that for the second time, then it didn't say anything about it. Here's the problem, see? But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Saul did not have the Spirit of the Lord. What do we have today? We have the Spirit of the Lord. Do we need to turn to our music for our mental peace, for our physical relaxation, for physical healing as such. Not the healing of diseases and everything, but there's physicalness that music can do for us, right? And the evil spirit departed? Sure, we can have some nice music, but listen, that's the job of the Spirit of God. Well, we open up that Bible, and our mind can be refreshed. You open up that Bible, and you can actually legitimately, physically feel better. We won't even get into the details of that. And that evil spirit, you've got the Spirit of the Lord. Now, here's where Paul's teachings come in. We have the Spirit of God within us, but we've also got that flesh. We can have the devil in there. We can have all sorts of stuff in that flesh. Sin is there. So we still fight that battle. So when people turn to their music and they like that fleshly, physical, heavy-duty beat that gives them the physical response, that's the flesh that they're feeding. That is not the Spirit of God. That is not your soul. That is not pleasing to God. What does God want Ephesians, he wants to hear the melody. He doesn't want to hear the physical. He doesn't want to hear that heavy-duty beat. Harmonies, it makes us feel better, but that deals with our mind and our emotions. What does God want to hear? He wants to hear the melody. What do we want to hear spiritually? Those melodies. If you happen to be one of those that can sing alto or whatever in harmony naturally, then, man, great. You know, that's fine. We're not criticizing the harmonies. We're just saying that these special arrangements and these great four-part harmony quartets and those kind of stuff, God just isn't impressed with that. He wants melody. And he wants it in your heart. He wants it sung to yourselves. It's between you and God. And I don't mean your performance is between you and God. It's between you and God. So those of you guys out there that can't sing worth a hoopy-doo, God doesn't care. He wants to hear you singing it in your heart. With grace, we'll talk about that in Colossians too. We'll get that into a little bit here tomorrow probably. So do you see what's going on here? Now, just to show you what I mean here, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 18, and let's go on. Let's go down the storyline a little bit. Let's go down here a few days later, chapter 18. We're going to go here to verse 5. Let's just continue this story here. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. This is a musician, remember now, a cunning musician. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. M-U-S-I-C-K, by the way. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Uh-oh. This musician's causing trouble here. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. This is the whole story. We have today, if you have followed the risen Savior according to Paul's teachings in the King James Bible, the Word of Truth, the Gospel of your salvation, you have the Spirit of God. We don't need music to heal us physically, mentally, and spiritually. We have the Spirit of God. When we open up that Bible should take care of us mentally. That Bible should refresh us. That Bible should help us physically get over the stress of each day. That Bible should help us spiritually, because it's a spiritual understanding that we have from the risen Savior. Do you see what's going on here in Samuel? He just didn't have the Spirit of God. And the musician took the place of God in that thing. Now we have the Spirit of God. I know you said that a couple of times. Well, I just want you to get it. I want you to understand that thing. David was cunning. He was skillful. He was experienced. He was instructed well. He had a knowledge that he learned by experience. Now, there's a negative use of the word cunning. And that is in Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So if ever you think that your pastor or those teachers or those professors or those publishers don't quite know what they're doing, listen, they're cunning. They know what they're doing. They're bringing in that Greek. They do not like the King James Bible. They hate that King James Bible. This is a spiritual war. Is that not what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6? He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's the enemy. The enemy is not your pastor. Your enemy is that spirit that's teaching your pastor to go against the King James Bible. When is God going to tell somebody to go around this world and tell everybody what's wrong with his Bible? Anybody ever thought of that? You ever wonder how that got started? So over these years, they managed to cunningly get people away from their King James Bible, got them into these new Bibles. And then after a while, these new Bibles, which have changed the word melody to music, have slowly brought in this music, and it deals with people's mental capacities, it deals with people's physical capacities, and it deals with spiritual faculties or facilities or whatever. And the emphasis of those three elements, melody, harmony, or rhythm, the main emphasis is rhythm. And the rhythm is what appeals to people physically. And you need to have an alert mind mentally. You need to be looking for the spiritual truth. And most people are just jumping up and down with their rock music and just feeling great with their modern music today, thinking that it pleases God. And when you study this thing about music, you find out that music today is not pleasing to God at all. Oh, that's just your opinion. No, that's not just my opinion. That's what the scriptures say. And yes, that is also based on some observation. There's the one for today. Now, do I want to get into anything further? Well, when I look at the time, I don't think there's enough time to give this next one, you know, the time that it needs. So let's just kind of wrap this up this morning, and I'll play some on my piano. It's got the harmonies, but they're not dissonant harmonies. They're not clashing harmonies. They don't have, every now and then they hit a wrong note, which makes for a bad harmony, but it's there. The harmonies are clean. The melodies are there. You know the melodies, at least some of the people know the melodies. The older people would know those melodies. And there's a spiritual joy that gets us encouraged because it reminds us of the risen Savior, reminds us of his blood, reminds us of his love, etc., etc. And that's by looking to the melody. And then the physical, there's no emphasis on beat. It's not a heavy-duty rock beat or a jazz beat or a boogie-woogie beat or whatever. It's just, there it is. The count's there. The rhythm is there. And it's okay. It's fine. Based on the scriptures. Prove that which is acceptable unto the Lord. So I'll just play some piano for a little while here, and then we'll see you tomorrow morning. And we'll talk about Acts chapter 17 and then some other things that Paul says about music. So there you go for today's program.